8. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night. We are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. The Pacers beat the best team in the NBA on their home court, or our home court, I should say, the Pacers' home court. No Steph Curry, but it counts just the same as a W, as the Pacers starting to get healthier and starting to play a little bit better. Just a game out of the playoff spot, the eighth spot in the East right now, and hitting a nice stride here in the last couple weeks. So we may throw a little Pacers into the equation. But as always, plenty of IU basketball tonight, as we've got a pair of games to talk about. The Hoosiers on Wednesday night had Purdue come to town and just did not match the intensity on either end of the floor, falling at home to Purdue 67-63. That leaves Purdue in a tie for second place now in the Big Ten and moves Indiana down into the middle of the pack, with a tough road to hoe to get back up into the top four and a bye into the Big Ten. We'll talk about that game in just a sec. They followed that up with a trip to Piscataway, New Jersey, their first trip to Rutgers as a Big Ten team, and laid the wood to Rutgers in the second half, playing every member of their bench in the second half at some point in time or another. 84-54, the final in that. So reacted on the road the way they absolutely needed to. But let's go back to the way they needed to react at home against Purdue on Wednesday night. Disappointing, to say the least, because here's a chance for the Hoosiers maybe to put a little space, or at least gain a little space here in trying to get up to that fourth spot. The ultimate goal, I suppose, at this point in time, get that double bye in the Big Ten tournament. And Glass, I've heard a lot of people say, hey, this is a bad matchup here, this is a bad matchup there, whatever you want to call it. To me, they, for the second time this year, although maybe a little bit closer this time around, they got shut down on the perimeter. And you can talk about the inside game. We will. Certainly Hammonds and Haas played very well. But to me, the disappointing thing about playing these two Purdue games has been just how much the outside, the perimeter of the Purdue defense, has really discombobulated the Hoosier offense. And unfortunately, that has caused, I mean, that seems to cause the Hoosiers to just stop moving the ball, moving themselves. And that's the one thing they absolutely have to do. No matter what's happening inside, they got to keep moving themselves. They got to keep moving the ball on offense. And they get taken out of it by this Purdue perimeter defense.
And the one thing that bothered me, as I talked about in detail Friday morning with Joe, was Yogi Ferrell telling us after the game that they didn't bring the fight as hard as Purdue did. Now, if your rival beats you by 20 points on their home court, or they're up 20 points and they beat you by 16, and then you go home and you know you're getting another shot at them, and then you tell everybody who's listening after the game that you didn't fight as hard as they fought on your home court, that's a little tough one for me to swallow. So that kind of mutes yesterday's victory for me, because that wasn't the game that Indiana needed the performance. It was a performance against a good team in the league, which Indiana has shown us this year that they have struggled with. And at home, that's kind of tough to swallow. And when Indiana gets bogged down in these spots, they get really, really easy to guard. You could tell by only putting two players in double figures that they didn't have any ideas on how to beat up on Purdue. And the other thing that drives you crazy about that game, Indiana didn't score the basketball very well. They didn't shoot the basketball very well. They went through that at Mackey. And to see it happen again, you want to call it a bad matchup? Okay. They got plenty of film on it. What was the adjustment we're going to be? We talked about that last Wednesday, this chess match that was going to develop. Purdue was 2 of 19 from the three-point line and didn't trail for 19 minutes and 20 seconds of the second half. That's an amazing number right there. So whatever Indiana's problems were offensively, they didn't figure them out. They led at halftime. The Boilermakers came out in the second half, and the Hoosiers got their one lead at 61-60 after a Yogi three, but the last four possessions of the game were all shots by Yogi, and Yogi was the only guy that really handled the ball in any of those situations. And again, didn't work out in the end. The Boilermakers, a team that doesn't shoot the basketball very well. Purdue was touting in their media guide that the last six games they were shooting 36% from the three-point line, their best six-game stretch of the year. Yet I didn't see Indiana collapse.
We have five guys that average 40.
Didn't see Indiana collapse, make them shoot themselves out of it. They gave up dunk after dunk. Hammonds missed one shot and made eight consecutive shots at the basket. Isaac Haas almost had a double-double. So you didn't see Indiana go big. You didn't see them make Purdue shoot them out of it. And when Indiana's offense doesn't make jump shots, Dave, only 5 3-pointers. Their last three-pointer, I think they made with 9:41 to go in the first half before hitting two with Blackman and Yogi in the last 4 minutes. That's a long stretch not to make any jump shots against a team that knows you're going to shoot jump shots. And the Hoosiers struggled to find Getting the ball to the rim, they struggled to get the ball to the free throw line. They struggled to do just about everything offensively. So that was the comment from Yogi was the toughest part for me to take after that game is we didn't bring the fight to a team that whooped you just a couple weeks ago on their home court. And that's another growing pain with a team like this. If you don't bring the fight against your biggest rival, I don't know who you're going to bring it against moving forward in the season.
No question about it. 333-2665 is our phone number and the spot that this shows up. First and foremost, and this has shown up a couple times in dramatic fashion, but most of the rest of the year, the Hoosiers have done a good number on the boards. But this is once again where a team has absolutely outfought them on the boards and done so dramatically. 38-21 is the difference that Purdue held on the boards. Six players who are regular rotation players, or actually seven of them, combined for six rebounds. Hanner Mascara, Perea, James Blackman, Robert Johnson, Nick Zeisloff, Stan Robinson, Emmett Holton, Colin Hartman. Between those seven players, six combined rebounds. It's not good enough. Your second leading rebounder is James Blackman. He's not active. He's usually very active on the boards for a guard. That's not good enough, and that to me is where it immediately shows up, is they just got absolutely dominated on the boards. And it wasn't just A.J. Hammonds, who only had four boards. It's 10 rebounds by Rafael Davis, who's, you know, was probably the toughest guy out there.
Isaac Haas as well, another guy you can't move out. But as Tom Crean pointed out accurately after the game, Colin Hartman, 17 minutes.
No rebounds.
4 minutes for Emmett Holt doesn't count. Mascara Perea had 17 minutes as well. He had one rebound. So there's 34 minutes right there of guys that aren't.
Combined 64 from the two freshman guards, two combined rebounds. It's
and
not
when
good
you don't, when you don't rebound as a team, and again, you don't, and then you don't shoot it greatly like Indiana has at home, the three-point shot, getting to the foul line, those were things that Indiana didn't do. And again, defensively, Dave, you didn't see Indiana. You saw spurts, and we always see them in spurts, but when Purdue needed baskets, all they did in the last 3 minutes of the game was clear out and let Rafael Davis go one-on-one. And you saw at the end, a team that had made 2 of 18 three-pointers on the night, you saw Indiana guard those guys one-on-one to the basket. The help was late. There were guys laying off on quote-unquote three-point shooters, the guys that don't make shots, and you're giving up layups.
It was all two-man game down the stretch.
You're giving up layups to guard the three-point line. And to me, if Purdue was 14-17, that's one thing. They're not. They were 2-18 for the game on that. And that was with Dakota Mathias hitting one in the first 90 seconds.
Yeah.
So they were 1-17 the rest of the night. So, again, Indiana's interior defense wasn't up to it. The game plan that Purdue ran, they just pounded it inside to either Haas or Hammonds, and then they got you off the dribble. And Indiana just couldn't find a way to counter that. And what Indiana does, again, they led by two at halftime, Dave. Indiana puts pressure on other teams by scoring the basketball. And when they don't do that, you've seen them struggle in finding ways to beat good teams. Not teams like Nebraska. Not teams like, I don't know, Rutgers. That's fine. But against the bigger boys, the top of the table, besides that three-point night against Maryland, it's been pretty quiet.
Ground to a halt, no question about it. We got lots to talk about individually when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball, 1-1 last week. Unfortunately, the loss at home to Purdue, 67-63, as they take the season series. Lots to talk about, though, with that game. This is a second-place Purdue team now playing very well here of late. Not a good enough effort by the Hoosiers. I want to ask you this, though, to start, and this was, it's an intangible. There's no way to say for sure this is the case. But the discussion going into that game, and it turned out this way, when you saw the starting lineup, the discussion was, do you go big? You've got Mascara Perea. He's been back a couple games. He's easing his way back into form. He can play a few extra minutes. Do you try to go big and match them, or do you stick with what has worked pretty well for you, and that's going small and putting all the shooters out there and spacing the floor? It's ironic to me that at the end of the day, you're talking about the Hoosiers going big, which is what they did, and yet losing the inside battle just as much as the outside battle. The first time around, the inside battle that they lost was only A.J. Hammonds really blocking the ball. They didn't have big scoring nights between the two of them. Haas barely played in that first matchup. They weren't huge on the boards that night. But this game in particular, you come out of there and you're talking about 32 points. You're talking about 13 rebounds, both intimidating on defense. Was it a mistake mistake to try to throw Mascara Perea out there from the get-go and show at least your team that you're going a different direction to try to react to Purdue as opposed to what you've been doing, which is making teams react to you.
If Perea didn't score 8 points in 8 minutes, I could probably argue that, yeah, you could. But no, since he produced, I don't see how you couldn't. I believe at one point in the game, it's Perea and Isaac Haas.
No, he was great on offense to
Perea
start.
And Haas were trading baskets. The one thing that always gets me about Perea, though, is every time he gets in foul trouble, he gets to the bench, and then you're saving him for something. And I haven't figured out what he's being saved for yet. Yeah, you got four fouls. Play him and get in there when Hammonds is killing you. Maybe you stop him and slow him down, gives your offense one more chance to get a basket, one more chance to get a score. But when he's on the bench and Hammonds is and Haas are having their way with Colin Hartman and Holt and where Holt only played 4 minutes. I'm going to kill Holt on that. But the point was they didn't have any answers for those guys inside. And preserving those that foul or those fouls for down the road never comes down the road. But no, I don't have a problem with it because he produced. And anytime you put a kid in a situation, you're going to put a kid out there and you want him to play well. And in 8 minutes, he had 8 points. He was 4 or 5 from the field. He took one bad shot, and that was after he made his first four. He took a heat check 18-foot jump shot. And again, that didn't seem to be the issue there. And when you're scoring in the paint and the ball's getting into the paint and moving through the paint, as Tom Crane harps on all the time, that should open some things up. So when he's out there and doing that, then they have to adjust to Perea or let Perea beat you. So I think that wasn't a terrible – I don't think it was a bad decision at all because he produced. And he led 20-12 at the 10:37 mark. So mm-hmm. It was working. And then the offense went stale. And then the offense went quiet. Purdue got back into the ballgame. But the one thing you know Purdue's always going to do is they're going to bring it defensively. They can't score. Sure. That's their problem. I think I said on Wednesday that Purdue would love to be 56-52 at the under four timeout. You remember what the score was?
Yeah.
They were 56-52 ahead at the under four timeout. They were in perfect sitting because mm-hmm. Indiana's offense didn't put any pressure on them. And what is that down to? Well, Robert Johnson can't go 1-for-8. That doesn't help anything. James Blackman was 4-for-9. Yogi 7-for-15. Solid. Those are solid. But how many points did you get off the bench that night? How many?
Two.
Two. Yeah, two. You can't do that. You have to have balance. You have to be difficult to guard. And let's be fair. Rafael Davis is a nice player. Octis, nice player. Who else is on that? Bryson Scott can't get on the court anymore. He hadn't played in 8 games before that game.
Smotherman.
Smotherman didn't play. Stevens can shoot it. And he was 1-for-8, 1-for-7.
Yeah.
And he didn't guard anybody. And Indiana just didn't have multiple ideas to get in the lane, to challenge Hammonds, challenge Haas. They didn't get their way at home. And that usually starts with making some jump shots. That wasn't the case. And I'm not going to bring up the time, but it was a good, I don't know, 9 and 7, 8, 9, 10, 15. It was like a good 24 minutes between three-point shots. Mm-hmm. And when that's a part of your offense that you use and use very well, that dries up.
No, you mentioned the 10.5-minute mark. In the first half, it was 20-12. They scored 3 more points until there was under 2 minutes left in the half.
There you
that's
go.
8 minutes, 3 points.
And that's your offense being quiet. That's, you know, that's missing layups. It's forcing shots. It's, you know, Purdue was going to play better. You knew that. Purdue wasn't going to go over there and roll over. They've been hot. They've been playing well. And they know it's defense. And they know if they can get into you and bump you and be a little physical with you, that's not always the easiest thing to deal with. Indiana is a fantastic bully offense. And what I mean by that is guys that play that don't get up in you, that don't get in you, that don't block you out, mm-hmm. that don't do that, it gets comfortable. But Purdue does not let you play comfortably, and that's obviously the case. And plus, when they've got rim protectors, even with Haas, who's in there, he's not going to block that many shots. He had 0 in the game. But A.J. Hammonds, again, he just throws his weight around, and he's huge, and he has long arms. And mm-hmm. you saw Troy go in there a few times.
He's playing well.
Go in there a few times, and he is playing. Big Ten Player of the Week. First Big Ten Player of the Week since 2012 for the Purdue program.
Mm-hmm.
2012. So Indiana, again, when plan B has to be there, you didn't see him running any isolation for Troy. You were just, I don't want to say hoping, that's not the right word, but it just didn't seem like being at home, trailing for the last 19 minutes and 30 seconds or being tied in that until 61-60 when Yogi hits a three. And what happens? They go right back down and get a layup.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask.
That's a tough part. You gotta bring it. You don't shoot it, you gotta defend it. When you don't shoot it, you gotta rebound it. When you don't shoot it, you gotta play better defense and force some turnovers. And they didn't do a terrible job on the turnover end. It wasn't great. They got 15 of them. That's pretty good.
No, 10.
But they forced 15, so that was that was the good news.
Well, let me ask you this. Look, I look at the IU turnovers, and 10 is a good number for this team.
Yeah, it's
fine. It is. So the question to me here is, you got the guys up in you on the outside. You know, they tried all day long to get around him. Were they not aggressive enough on the offensive end if, at the end of the day, you only score 63 points and you only turn it over 10 times? And what I say by that is, we talk about them being over-aggressive sometimes, and they end up with 18 turnovers. You go, what the hell are you doing? But in this case, they clearly didn't try to get too over-aggressive. They only turned it over 10 times against one of the better defenses out there.
And the other part was they only had 7 offensive rebounds. So whatever angle that is, when you get one-and-done trips, when you don't tip the ball out and get second chances, when you get the, when you don't, you're not getting extra possessions, Dave, and you don't score at a high rate,
right.
Again, the math doesn't work out for this team. And that was the other tough part. Perea got 2 points in 9 minutes in the second half, and as you mentioned, had one rebound for the game. So 7 total offensive rebounds on 31 missed shots. That's that offensive rebound rate's not – You're not creating extra chances. You're not creating extra possessions on that. I thought the key to this game for Purdue was when Octius fouled out. He was killing them. He was taking bad shots, making bad decisions, playing at 100 miles an hour. Sure, he had the nice dunk, whatever. But, boy, late in that game, he had a couple jumpers with 24, 25 on the shot clock. You just see Painter tearing his hair out. And then when he committed that final foul and Yogi stripped him, I was like, oh, that's going to – now they're going to relax. They're going to bound the ball into the ground. They're going to make Indiana come out and defend him. And the play Purdue scored on to get that last one from Raphael Davis, they threw it to A.J. Hammonds at the top of the key, and he handed it off to Davis, who went around the corner and hit a tough layup. But if you stop it and you go look back at that play, Perea's trailing. He's staying out with Hammonds. Make Hammonds hit the 17-footer.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you go to the basket and stop the layup?
Yeah.
And then you see whoever's in the corner in front of the Purdue bench, I think Yogi's on him a hand away from him.
Mm-hmm.
The team is 2 of 18. They were 1 of their last 17 after Matthias hit that early 3.
Right.
Those are – you got to dig down and help on the drive there. And to leave Robert Johnson, well, how old is Raphael Davis? He's 6'5 or 6'6. He's mm-hmm. a senior, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's been around
so.
The block once yep. or twice. And you leave your freshman out there on the island to guard him one-on-one. So those are just, again, situational things we've seen with Indiana in some tight games, home and on the road, that just haven't been executed to a level where you win all these basketball games. And sometimes it's as easy as that, and sometimes it's as easy as making shots. But what do we know? You're not going to hit 15 three-pointers every night. You're not going to hit 18 three-pointers every night. That's the facts.
Especially when they're being guarded like that. Purdue does get in you on the perimeter. The disappointing thing, again, to me, though, we talked about it a lot, and this has been a real positive for the Hoosiers all year long, outside of maybe about 4 games, and that is hitting the boards. And this is not a huge inside team. It's got 2 guys, really, that seem at all comfortable with their back to the basket in Perea and Emmett Holt, and Holt played 4 minutes, and Perea is still getting back from whatever he had and really isn't a huge banger inside, but still only to have 2 rebounds between the two of them at the end of the day and lose the rebounding battle as much as they did. That's the disappointing thing. You know, your guards have been very good rebounders this year. Yogi had 5, you know, and he's the smallest guy out there for the most part. But between Perea, Blackman, and Johnson, these guys, I mean, Blackman and Johnson, they're freshmen, I get it. 64 minutes, 2 rebounds. They've been far, far better than that this year.
That's your problem. It's why you lose the game. It's not hard to figure out. Again, against good teams, Indiana has to do a lot of things right besides shoot the basketball. And you saw what happened when they didn't shoot mm-hmm. the basketball. They forced some turnovers.
Well, it's got to go to the boards.
They didn't offensive rebound.
333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in Travis. How you doing, Travis?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
What's happening, buddy?
Good. Well, now, you got to hear me out on this.
We will.
Okay. So I'm not the biggest Tom Crean fan as a coach. But anyway, haven't been it at all, but... Anyway, I have come to the conclusion that he is not a fan of a true big man, and he likes, if he's going to have a big guy, he wants a guy that's more of a European-type player, where he's a runner.
Like Cody?
And a three-point shooter. Well, see, now Cody, I don't think he used him properly, but he stuck around. I think the only reason why he stuck around as long as he did was to get his degree. I think it was that important to him. And like Von Lay, I mean, that kid, he had no business leaving, but he wasn't used properly. So he thought, you know, he had a lot of money thrown at him, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when you go, when you're a top 10 pick, you have to go.
You got to go.
You got to take it. I mean, you got to take it. That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing sometimes.
I think he certainly likes spacing the floor. I mean, let's be honest about it. And that style has really helped this team without an inside guy. But it's not as though he has not had inside guys. I mean, Zeller, like you mentioned, seems more natural as a back to the basket guy. Vonleh, they actually played more back to the basket than I think he even wanted.
Well, because he could shoot.
Yeah, and then with they had Fisher on the roster for a semester, and clearly he's more of a back to the basket kind of guy. So it's not I don't think that he doesn't want them. But I think you're right. I think offensively, you'd like to have the ability for that guy to shoot the ball. Look at Wisconsin. I mean, here's Frank Kaminsky, and over the years, Brian Butch. I mean, go down the list of these guys that can shoot it from outside. I think everybody would like that.
Well, I guess my thought is you've got to have a guy that maybe not, you can't guarantee anything, but you got to have a guy that is probably going to be at least a double-double for you. Yeah, I mean, we've got to have somebody like that because we got, what?
The only problem with those double-double guys, they go pro after a year or two. That's the issue.
That's true.
What you need is you need a kid like Haas that can take up space, that can give you,
a presence.
A true post presence.
Defensively and rebounding.
Yeah,
you need a presence.
That's what we don't have. Yeah. We got a bunch of guys that love to throw the three, and I think we shoot it way too many times. I know that's our offense, and I just hate seeing that because we never have anybody down to rebound. But we truly depend way too much on the three-point shot. And when we're not hitting, we just keep throwing them up there, and we're either great or we're ugly.
I think the word we're looking for here that we're talking around and not getting to is balance. We need the Indiana and any basketball team that's going to be good needs balance. You can't be one-dimensional or two-dimensional. That can't happen at this day and age. Travis, good job on the call.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
You have to have that because you can't depend on three-point shooting. You can't depend on jump shooting. You have to have guys who can attack the rim. You have to have guys that can rebound. You have to have guys that can get in the paint and create their own shot off the dribble when Purdue is guarding you. Again, this is a Purdue Boilermaker team that has struggled against some other teams this year, Gardner-Webb and North Florida, with these same players playing the same style of defense. They got up for the Indiana game twice. Yogi Ferrell told us after the game that they brought the fight, and then we weren't in the fight.
Again, they're playing differently than they did earlier in the season.
They are.
AJ Hammons has gotten a clue here.
And they're improving.
They've
gotten better.
They are a better second-half team than they were a first-half team.
They have found out that
the disappointing thing is that the Hoosiers did not match them.
They found out that shooting, and this team was 2 of 18 and won on the road at Indiana and led 19 minutes and 30 seconds in the second half. That's what happened. Looking at the numbers here, tell me if I'm wrong. I'm going back. Troy Williams scored his last basket with 10:28 to go. That's what I've got. I can't find another one. You go again. That's a how many quarters? Four quarters in the game, 10 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the final quarter of the game. Troy Williams not scoring. Those are things that, again, you want to just put into this category of why Indiana didn't win or only took the lead once in the second half. Troy can't disappear for 10 and a half minutes and not score. That's why they lost, Dave. They didn't rebound very well. They didn't offensive rebound very well. They didn't have many other options on offense. And when your second leading scorer, third leading scorer, doesn't go on the score sheet the last 10 and a half minutes, Purdue's happier. They couldn't be happier.
We got to take a quick break. When we get back, Travis brought up a question. We've heard it a lot. Does this team live and die by the three? We'll talk about that and how do you react when they don't go in. What do you do with this team? So you got some tough games coming up. There's no question about it. Northwestern's not going to be a cakewalk on Wednesday.
Three in a row.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, we got high school basketball tomorrow night as the Edgewood Mustangs have senior night, bringing Cascade to town. John Callahan and I will have the call tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, and 7:30 is the tip-off for that. And a big night there over at Edgewood and the Mustang Corral. We'll have more high school basketball on Friday night as it's South's senior night as Warren Central comes to town. Also, Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, and tip-off, 7:30 for that.
And a week from tomorrow night will be the sectional doubleheader opener at Bloomington South as North and South will open up the 2015 Boys IHSAA sectional. And we'll have a doubleheader for you on Tuesday night. The draw busy on that first one.
Yeah.
And so that's a week from tomorrow. So plenty of high school hoops in the next 8 days.
333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball, Purdue game in particular.
Troy did score. I got that incorrect, and I'll fix that problem right now. Troy scored a layup at 458. Yeah. That was the good news, and then I'll leave off his three-pointer that hit the side of the backboard on the next possession.
Look, that was a bad shot and probably a bad decision also. I'd like to give Troy at least a little bit of a break in that. He's engaged now all the time, and that was always a battle. I mean, let's be fair about it. It's, you know, having him engaged at all times has been a struggle at times, and yet he seems to have taken care of that for the most part.
Yeah, but as Yogi told us, the Hoosiers struggled with that all night as a team. They're not bringing the fight on their home court. That's the tough part. And the tough part in this game was, what do you do in a tight game? And that's kind of been not an argument this team, but Indiana has been a team that likes to get out, run out, and make you chase because they make a lot of free throws. They handle the ball pretty well. And if you have to come back on them, it's quite difficult. Well, but when Indiana's chasing the game, that's a little bit of a different story.
Does it rely on made three-pointers too much?
No, it doesn't, because made three-pointers are a product of the offense. If the players are shooting them challenged, that's just as bad as shooting them one pass when you're up eight with 2 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. It's a time-space continuum. It's a time-space. You got to know the time. You got to know the score. You got to know your strengths. You got to know your weaknesses. When Indiana is really good, they're moving the basketball and making the extra pass to get the guy open. When does that usually happen? With penetration. Again, Crean's a broken record through this. He's right. You have to get through the paint. You have to make other teams react, and then you get better looks and better open shots.
Yeah, see, that's just I don't see them as relying on the made three-pointer either.
Yeah.
Because as, you're right. They move the ball. They move the men. They find the open shooters. They did that at Rutgers. They did that against Minnesota. That's more of a product of the entire thing. They do bog down, and when they bog down, they take three-pointers too quickly. I don't think there's any question about that. But I don't think their offense relies on that in particular, because they get into the paint.
They move laterally. They do not go north and south.
Right.
That's what hurts their offense. When you're exchanging flip passes 25 feet from the basket, and you're never turning the corner, and you're never getting south of the free throw line extended, you don't make teams react and shuffle. Guys will pass off screens all night on 25 feet away from the basket, because they know by watching film, watching tape, they don't hand off and shoot 25 footers. It's to force the movement and to force the motion.
So what does this team do against teams that get up in you on the perimeter? Because you've got Purdue did that. Michigan State did that in the first game of the Big Ten, or the second game of the Big Ten. What does this team need to do when that happens?
You need to find ways to get the ball into the paint. And whether that is attacking from different angles, then manned up with guards, that's fine. You saw against Minnesota, a team that's notorious for its steals, its good hands, its quick hands, its quick perimeter D. They torched them. They tore them apart. Sometimes teams cheat and play bad defense, knowing they've got Maurice Walker or whoever else back there to block some shots. Purdue doesn't cheat. There's a difference. Not every team's going to play like that. But we talked about that on Wednesday, Dave. The screens had to be more solid. The cuts had to be sharper. The ball had to go through the paint. And it didn't. And you could see it. When Indiana gets bogged down, you can just hear the ball dribble, 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 dribble. And there's times where guys will stand around and either wait for the set to be called, or they're not going to cut, thinking he's going to cut, and it's just, it doesn't look very organic. It looks more, a little bit more robotic on that. So what happens is Yogi Ferrell usually is forced to make a play, because James Blackman doesn't want to screw up yet. Robert Johnson doesn't want to screw up yet. Troy will only take it when he's really got it, and I don't have a problem with that, because sometimes Troy gets a little too excited in spots. But the other part is, if Colin Hartman's not knocking down jumpers, and if Colin Hartman, and I'm not putting this on Colin Hartman, Hunter Prey had 2 points in the second half.
Yeah.
He wasn't commanding a presence inside.
Right.
You can see where Hammond slouches off, and then he's guarding a player and a half. Mm-hmm. He's guarding more room.
He can sit in
and
there.
That changes decision making. We talked about that on Wednesday. Make Hammond's make a bunch of decisions. Well, only his decision was dunk it one handed or dunk it two handed.
So
Indiana's decision making was affected because Hammond's wasn't taken out of his comfort zone.
Right.
And Indiana wasn't running cuts off him and forcing him to guard.
Let me ask you then, compare the two Purdue games. I realize the result at least was closer in this one, but did having the attempting the inside game here with having Perea available, and I'm not going to pin it on Perea, I'm not going to pin it on Hartman, I'm not going to pin it on anybody, but the style of play with having the guy inside that you want to dump it to or be involved in the middle of the lane, did that allow Haas and Hammonds to play a larger role on both ends? Because again, outside of Hammonds' eight blocks, they didn't fill up the stat sheet in the first game. That was all outside guys. That was all scoring outside.
Yep. And they found balance. Purdue had it off the drive. Indiana had to play their bigs inside. And again, Hammond's, when he gets space and gets the ball in that position, and Purdue looked like they made a concentrated effort to get the ball into Hammond's in good post position instead of settle for a lot of drives, a lot of jump shots.
It was a lot of two-man game type stuff.
It was, and there were some bad Purdue shots. Every time Stevens caught the ball, I was like, go ahead and shoot it, kid.
Right.
Loctius, please keep shooting jumpers. You guys are he's got an 8-6 point
Mathias
lead.
And Stevens, 2-13 from 3.
The problem is Purdue was grabbing rebounds. They're getting the ball back in the paint. Yep. And again, you have to check all the boxes because against good teams, and Purdue's a pretty good team, 10 wins in the Big Ten, it's one more than Indiana has. They went on the road and did a lot of really good things to win the basketball game, and the Hoosiers didn't. And even the last four possessions of the game, Yogi Ferrell shot it all four times. That's, again, easy for teams to defend. That's easy for teams to pay attention to. And whether it's a trust factor or not a trust factor or the right set or not the right set, that's kind of a microcosm of how it, when it bogs down with Indiana, that's how it looks. And you could argue taking the two timeouts home with you at the end, you could have drawn up something a little bit better, something a little bit more efficient. Sure, you can always armchair it and go back and see. But when you get beat, Dave, it's never one possession. It's never one guy. It's never one play. It's usually a culmination of stuff that you do well that you kind of do well, and you don't get it all done. It's not a lot of different in football. The team that turns it over four times in a football game and is -3 in the turnover department can play really good offense the rest of the time, but it's usually those three turnovers that can kill them. Or the team that never runs the ball all of a sudden has, they run the ball all the time and get a 300-yard passing game, but they can't run the ball in the last 2 minutes when they could kill the game off.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do lots of things right to win. And the Hoosiers did some of them right. But the one thing that bothered me, again, you get down at half, you're ahead at halftime, you get down in the first minute, and you take the lead once in the second half. That doesn't tell me Purdue got lucky. That doesn't tell me Purdue did something out of the ordinary.
Right.
That sounds like they beat them up. And Purdue took some bad shots and had some bad possessions as well. But Indiana couldn't get a string of stops together, couldn't get enough rebounds together, couldn't get enough baskets in a row together to put that pressure on Purdue.
Now, I realize you can't look at the Rutgers game and think that this is a reaction to the same kind of defense because it's not even close.
Nope.
But do you take the positive at the very least that they
they
got their attention and took it on the road and didn't mess around with Rutgers? Because let's remember, Rutgers gave them a hell of a game here
in
Assembly Hall and was leading with
they
7 minutes
sure
left.
And that's when Rutgers was a little bit healthier as well. How bad did Rutgers get beat at Iowa last week?
It was like 30-something.
Yeah, so back-to-back 30-point losses for Rutgers. It shows you exactly. If Rutgers played Nebraska, Dave, who'd win?
Probably the referees.
I have no idea. Not the fans.
Yeah,
not the fans, that's for sure. So Indiana
Indiana
went on a business trip and took care of it. They had a 10-point halftime lead, come out to a 9-0 run. It's 19, and what a good teams, too. They don't let teams back in the game in Indiana. And I don't think that lead ever got underneath 15, did it?
Now let's ask the critical question against Rutgers. The last 3 minutes of the game, did we finally find our big guy in Jeremiah April?
No, but if you can't play when you're up 30 or down 30, when are you going to play? So I guess that's
people
something
need
you,
to stop with
you,
that.
You can take something away from it and get some guys some rest that you talk about not practicing, playing them 32 minutes in a game where you're up 90 points. Again, those are things down the road that Indiana had to win the Rutgers game. We said that last Wednesday. Indiana had an opportunity to be sitting 10-5 in league play right now with the win over Purdue and the win over Rutgers. It did not happen. And now, Dave, they're going to have to do it the hard way because Northwestern has found their footing. They've won 3 straight. Iowa, we just told you they beat Rutgers by about 100, and they won by 100 at Nebraska. And then Michigan State, hey, look who's in second place in the Big
Ten,
and here comes March.
That's right. So it is not an easy road to hoe. We'll talk about what this means, though, for the last 3 games and into the Big Ten tournament when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, quick programming note, tomorrow night we've got high school basketball, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, and 7:30 is the tip-off for Edgewood's senior night as Cascade comes to town. John Callahan and I will have the call for you here on WGCL starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Of course, Glass and I will be back Wednesday, 6 o'clock, and then Friday night we'll have more high school basketball with South's senior night against Warren Central, and that is Friday night. 333-2665 is the phone number. So Lose at home to Purdue 67-63. Go on the road and annihilate Rutgers 84-54. At this point in time, you've got kind of polar opposites, I guess, of performances. I mean, it's not fair to me to say they didn't play well at all against Purdue. They got out tough, and that's disappointing as hell. There's no question about that. But what do you, I mean, how do we look at this going forward? As you mentioned, Northwestern, you go to Northwestern, they've won three in a row. They're feeling awfully good about themselves. You know, Chris Collins is waiting and waiting and waiting for a win, and that Iowa win certainly helped him out. Then you've got Iowa and Michigan State at home. Iowa's at least a middle of the pack team, and Michigan State right now is in second place, as you mentioned. You got them here. So what is this last week? What do you look at with the Hoosiers right now? We talked about what could and couldn't happen. I mean, they could go 3-0, they could go 0-3, and I wouldn't be shocked either way.
And they're off this weekend. They'll pick up Iowa on the third Tuesday, and then wrap up with Michigan State the seventh Saturday. So there's your schedule moving forward. In Indiana, and I've talked about this all season, and I think there's no point in changing right now. This team has to continually look forward. It has to be the next opponent. It has to just, again, are you going to change the Leopard spots now? No. You can't ask this team to all of a sudden start defending and doing things like that, or not taking threes or whatever it is. You've come this far. It's what works. You have to clean it up and get it better. And what you need to do is the last nine games, they were 5-1, right? They're 4-5, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the last nine games. So win the next one, and then win the one after that. And it is kind of like survive in advance right now, because the Hoosiers are playing some teams that are starting to find their feet. And Northwestern, yeah, they lost 10 in a row, but you know what they're thinking about? They've just won 3 in a row. They don't really care about those 10.
Right.
There's no point for them to go back and say, well, geez, I hope we don't revert to our old form. But you'd like to see Indiana rattle off 3 or 4 in a row to end the season, or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 in a row, win the Big Ten tournament. That has to be the goal, doesn't it? But I think it has to start. You can't beat Iowa Wednesday night in Chicago. You have to beat Northwestern. Mm-hmm. So what do you have to do against Northwestern? What do you have to do on the road, Dave? Well, this team has won 3 games on the road. What have they done every time on the road? It seems like they've shot it just well enough. They've scored and made other teams chase them, and they've defended it pretty
certainly
well.
Certainly the other night against Rutgers was unlike their first two road victories, which were more defensive, grinded out type of efforts.
And a 30-point win is always good. That's never a bad thing for a multitude of reasons. 84 points is good. 45 rebounds is great. They haven't had that many rebounds since Ohio State at the Assembly Hall back in early January. So, again, that rectified somewhat of a problem against Purdue. Mm. But, again, Rutgers isn't very good, and that's what you need to do. They needed to win by a lot yesterday. They won by a lot yesterday, so it confirms and reconfirms what they're doing. The big question out of the game is Colin Hartman got his knee run into.
Yeah.
What's that going to be like? I guess the only good news is it's not the knee with the brace on it, at least from the replays I saw.
It looked like a heck of a Charlie horse, though.
And those don't feel good, and bone bruises hurt, and
yeah.
And you hope that he can get up and go, because the one thing we haven't seen is everybody at full strength, everybody in shape, everybody at condition, speed happening. And a lot of teams this time of year have that problem. But Indiana doesn't need that problem. Dave, they need all hands on deck because of the way the schedule finishes out. We thought it'd be a little bit easier with the Rutgers Northwestern, but again, that's why you got to play them all. And that's why when you're sitting there at 5-1 to make predictions about what seed you're going to be in this and that and what the record's going to be, just play it out. And you can only take care of the games in front of you. So what does Indiana need to do to beat Northwestern? We'll talk lots of details about it on Wednesday night, but they're going to have to make shots. It's not – there's no company secret with Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to play hard on the road. They're going to have to be into the game. They're going to have to be – you just go down and check all those boxes off. And Northwestern's playing good. They've got some confidence. But how do they handle winning? They haven't had to do a lot of that in the Chris Collins era. And they got a lot of young kids playing. So it sounds a little bit familiar. But if Indiana – can they still reach that double bye if they went out? What would their record be, 12-6?
Yeah, I mean, some things have got to go right for them, but it can happen, yeah.
And starting tomorrow night,
they're in fifth right now.
Tomorrow night, you can get some help with Wisconsin winning at Maryland. If the Badgers, who are one of the best teams in the Big Ten in history in the last 10 years, can go on, then all of a sudden Maryland's got 5 losses. And all of a sudden,
You mentioned that double bye. I mean, the first thing you have to do is you have to win against Northwestern, but you have to win all 3 games. If you do, then you've got a victory over Michigan State, who also has to go to Wisconsin.
Yep.
So the chances of them ending up with 6 losses to at least be tied in the standings, again, the only way that happens is if you beat them, most likely. So,
and that's where it has to be, and you're going to have to win your games. And the Hoosiers on the road, again, need to get the ball in the paint, need to get the ball to the free throw line, and have to take things away. You can't just hope to outscore teams. I don't think that works at this level. There's too much film. There's too much good stuff that guys recruit and scout and do everything else. This is the only meeting this year, so there's not a lot.
Northwestern's going to get in you defensively. You know that.
And Collins, they gave up 39 points to Penn State. That's it. Yeah. In a 40-minute game, they held DJ Newbold, the league's leading scorer, 20-something a game. He had his first basket with 2 minutes and change left to go in that game. So they're starting to figure some things out. So the Hoosiers will have to come ready to play, Dave. And again, you can't beat Iowa Wednesday night. You can't beat Michigan State Wednesday night. You got to take care of the Cats on Wednesday night. And winning on the road, as we know, is not easy in the Big Ten. And especially with teams playing well. You get a team that's playing good basketball now, and you can't say, well, look back at what they did. Hey, Rutgers had lost 10 in a row. They got beat by 30.
Do you look at this team right now with the addition, the re-addition of Perea into here and a little different look because of it? Is it a better looking team down the stretch than it was the way it was playing without him?
It's five more fouls. It's more length. It's more deterrence at the rim. Yeah, all that can happen. Has it come together yet? I don't think we've seen that. I think what we've seen, Dave, is when Indiana is at their best, they're knocking down shot after shot, shooting a real high percentage from the floor. They're getting lots of layups and dunks. They're getting to the foul line.
Ball's moving.
And if Perea, who was part of that in the first half against Purdue, again, Indiana led at halftime. He was 4 or 5 from the field and took one bad shot. That was it.
Well, it was great for the first 10 minutes.
Bad shot. And again, no question. That's the next step with Indiana as a basketball team, and you can throw Perea into that. It's night in and night out. You want to play. You can't play really good 2 out of 3 games. You can't play really good 3 out of 4 games. Not in this league. It doesn't happen. There's too many good teams. There's too many good players. There's too many good coaches. And that's the product of youth. That's the product of these guys not being through maybe as many ringers as Yogi and even Troy to that extent. Because, again, the rest of them just haven't played that much with the exception of Robinson. That's how it's been. And this is the time to grow up. These are the games that are in front of you. And if you'd have told me at the beginning of the season that you'd have had at Northwestern, home Michigan State, home Iowa, home Michigan State to move you into the top 3 or 4 in the league, I think you would have signed up for that and took it immediately. So that's the positive side.
Hasn't always been pretty, but
now you've got to go.
That's the spot.
Win some games against some pretty good teams when the chips are on the table. And that's what separates, Dave, the guys that play on Wednesday from the guys that play on Thursday from the guys that play on Friday.
And a big game on Wednesday is a big game in the Big Ten tomorrow night on ESPN, 7 o'clock, Wisconsin at Maryland.
Yep, that's a large one.
So that's a big one for all the seating down the stretch.
All the Jay Billis
should
you
be
can
an
handle.
Interesting one, no question about that. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Again, high school basketball tomorrow from Edgewood, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, and we will join you again Wednesday at 6. You've been in the zone.